Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, June 10th, 2008. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., where there is a thunderstorm going on right now. Perhaps we'll be lucky and lightning will strike so many of the criminals roaming the streets of Capitol Hill, coming in and out of elegant restaurants, bar rooms, and other places where people meet, greet, and plot against the American people. I heard two members of the U.S. Senate and at least one member of the House of Representatives having a conversation in a restaurant here on Capitol Hill this evening, talking about John McCain. Now, granted, these people are Democrats, but evidently, John McCain really is a pretty nasty guy. No wonder they call him McNasty. These two particular Democratic senators are probably among the better of a bad lot in Congress. Maybe after the revolution, we'll give these guys a pardon. We sure do need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hope the military plays a part in it. Kind of interesting. Arno de Borgrov, writing in the Washington Times, spoke of the AIPAC conference the other day and said that AIPAC, of course, being the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and he wrote that bellicose anti-Iran statements at the AIPAC convention got the biggest hand. Neocon kingpin Richard Perle made another pitch. Maybe putsch is the word. Pitch to put Iran next on the terrorist regime hit list. But listen to this, folks. My friend, the big shot lawyer who says support the troops, should listen to this. Three former commanders of CENTCOM, which includes the Middle East, Iran, and Pakistan, have disassociated themselves from those who advocate hostile action. These former commanders now favor high-level dialogue. I think we ought to listen to these big military leaders, these big military men, former commanders of CENTCOM, the guys who know the Middle East. We shouldn't be listening to these armchair Jewish war hawks like Richard Perle, a former arms dealer for Israeli interests and a pro-Israel propagandist par excellence. No, we should be listening to the military men, the real heroes, the guys who say that we shouldn't be going to war against Iran, that we shouldn't be engaging in this bellicose talk. No, the Serbian-Americans don't want war against Iran. The Italian-Americans don't want war against Iran. The Native Americans, that is, Americans of indigenous descent, don't want war against Iran. I don't see even black American groups calling for war against Iran. I do see Jewish American groups calling for war against Iran. That tiny yet powerful minority that wants to send American boys and girls, men and women, off to fight another needless war on behalf of the State of Israel and international Jewish agenda, the New World Order, which comes right out of that unholy book called the Talmud. A lot of people don't want to talk about that, folks, but that's what it's all about. Marcus Wiesner from Montclair, New Jersey, wrote a letter to the Washington or to the New York Times saying, "What was cloudy became clear. What became clear has become crystal clear. President Bush and his coterie misled the country into a war that has cost the lives of more than 4,000 Americans, physically and mentally maimed thousands more, cost hundreds of billions of dollars, and damaged our moral standing in the world." He's right, folks. That's our good conservative president who loves America and who supports the troops and, most above all, loves Israel. To hell with George Bush and to hell with Israel. To hell with the more warmongers.
Pain It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770, because personal information should stay personal.
I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm a plastic surgeon, and I see a lot of people who come to my office for facelifts and collagen injections. But I want to tell you today about a product that I developed. It's called Night Skin, and it helps your skin look younger without needles, without acid peels, and without a facelift. In 12 hours, it will make your skin seem smoother. In 12 hours, it will stimulate collagen production. And in 12 hours, it will promote elastin growth in your skin. What does this all mean? Well, this is the stuff that makes your skin firm and healthy and helps you look younger. Night Skin is real, and the results are real, and it contains only proven ingredients that work to lighten age spots, smooth the skin, and help diminish the appearance of wrinkles. It's easy, and in 12 hours, you'll see it works. Try it risk-free today.
To order Night Skin risk-free, call 1-800-362-5848. Learn how to get a risk-free bottle by responding to this ad. Call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to republicbroadcasting.org. You know, this network could not survive if it were not for the support of good people like you who listen, who make donations, who sign up as members of the RBN membership organization. You know, it's only $15 a month. You get a biweekly newsletter with product discounts, commentary exclusive to the newsletter, all sorts of good things. If you choose to stay aboard for longer than a month, which I hope you would, you can get a 10% discount for a six-month membership at $81. Actually, it's $80.94. Or for 1 year, $152.90. Well worth the investment. It helps out RBN. Check out the details right here at republicbroadcasting.org. And while you're on the Internet, folks, you are on the Internet, I want you to check out one of our sponsors, Herbal Healer Academy. You can get a free online newsletter from them. They provide all sorts of interesting information about their research on natural health. They have a huge variety of natural products, a lot of different specials. Check out herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com. They're a good sponsor of this network. Let them know you're listening to RBN, and that's how you heard about them. Well, a lot of little items to go through here in the news. We heard about Senator Jay Rockefeller coming out finally discovered that George Bush lied about Iraq. We talked about that before the break. Well, everybody knew George Bush was lying about Iraq. Everybody except these Democrats in Congress, with the exception of a handful who went along with the war. I'm here to remind you, folks, I know a lot of people don't like Ted Kennedy, but Ted Kennedy did oppose the war in Iraq very openly and very strongly. Jay Rockefeller, however, you know, he voted for the war against Iraq. He wants to have his cake and eat it, too. Here is what Jay Rockefeller, who is now criticizing George Bush, said in October 2002. He said, and this is Jay Rockefeller, quote, "There has been some debate over how, quote-unquote, imminent a threat Iraq poses. I do believe Iraq poses an imminent threat. I also believe after September 11th that question is increasingly outdated. To insist on further evidence could put some of our fellow Americans at risk. Can we afford to take that chance? I do not think we can." In other words, Jay Rockefeller was saying, well, yes, George is right. Iraq is a threat. We've got to do something about them. These criminals, ladies and gentlemen. Another criminal, barely just avoided going to jail, Tom DeLay, former House Majority Leader. He recently gave an interview in which he said that one of the things he wants to do is help rejuvenate the conservative movement. But listen to this, his first priority, even over helping rejuvenate the conservative movement, is to help Israel. That was something he says that after he was resigned, when he, quote-unquote, spent about 5 weeks in my knees trying to figure out what was the right thing to do, he decided that it was to help Israel. He says, that's what the Lord wants me to do. I think you could say, and I'm very proud of the fact, that I was the number one supporter of Israel in the House and the Senate. Well, if Tom DeLay would have gone to jail, maybe he would have been the number one supporter in jail of Israel. Although, that's somewhat skeptical, or I should say I have some skepticism about that, because there's a lot of supporters of Israel who have gone to jail. One of them is Jack Abramoff. This guy, his corruption went all the way to the White House, according to a new congressional report. Now, this is interesting. The new documents confirm that Abramoff's corrupt team persuaded White House officials to kick out of office a State Department official who advocated labor reforms in the Northern Mariana Islands that were opposed by the local government there, which paid Abramoff to lobby for it in Washington. In other words, Abramoff was lobbying for the government of the Mariana Islands and corporate interests there that run that government didn't want U.S. government policies, which affect the Marianas, to interfere with their profiteering. Kind of interesting, it turns out that one of the people associated with Abramoff is Rabbi Daniel Lappin, a highly touted, quote-unquote, conservative Jewish-American rabbi. He and his brother apparently are tied up in the Mariana Islands. I can let you in on a interesting little sidelight that some years ago, a self-described Khazar, who is a very close advisor to Christopher Bolin, was trying to get American Free Press to write favorable articles about Rabbi Daniel Lappin. At the time, this struck me as very odd, considering the fact that Rabbi Lappin, an Orthodox Jew, that is, an advocate of the Talmud, and I always ask, who put the mud in the Talmud? Bolin's associate was encouraging American Free Press to promote Rabbi Lappin, saying that he was a good conservative American. Rabbi Lappin is a good Talmudist. Rabbi Lappin is a good Zionist. Why Bolin's associate, the self-described Khazar, would want American Free Press to promote this Talmudist is a mystery that I cannot begin to even attempt to explain. You can figure it out for yourself. Well, it turns out the story about Barack Obama's wife, Michelle, ranting against Whitey may just be that, a rumor. The video has yet to emerge, and it turns out, this is what's interesting, folks, this blogger who started the story was a backer of Hillary Clinton. No, it wasn't a white racist. It wasn't a member of the National Alliance. It wasn't David Duke. It wasn't somebody who was attacked in the mass media for being, quote-unquote, a white racist. No, it was a supporter of Hillary Rodham Clinton who put this story out. Now, maybe the story is true, but I'll tell you what, I would like to see the video. I mean, it's incumbent upon those who have the video to bring it out to the public, because I think we need to know if Mrs. Obama did use the term whitey. But considering the fact that it came out of the Clinton camp, and, you know, we talked about Hillary Clinton last night on this program with Victor Thorne of WingTV.net, anything is possible with the Clintons. Quite a crew. By the way, there's apparently a very big attack on Bill Clinton in this month's issue of Vanity Fair. Interestingly, the article was written by a journalist who is married to Clinton's former press secretary, a male journalist married to his former female press secretary. I can't remember her name at the moment, but in any case, I tried three different places to get Vanity Fair yesterday to read the article. Couldn't get a copy of it. It's sold out here in Washington. Everybody wants to read about it. Apparently exposes a lot of Bill Clinton's shenanigans, financial and otherwise. Vanity Fair, as you probably know, is published by the powerful Newhouse family, S.I. Newhouse, hardline Jewish Zionist advocates who own many newspapers in key medium-sized cities across the country, ranging from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to New Orleans, Louisiana, along with such magazines as The New Yorker and Vanity Fair. Very, very interesting that this powerful Zionist family, hardline advocates of the Jewish agenda, seem to have it in for the Clintons, which kind of feeds back into what I've been saying for a long, long time, that was the very purpose of building Barack Obama up to knock Hillary Clinton down. There's a guy named Edward Luttwak, L-U-T-T-W-A-K. He's a well-known academic who's been writing pro-Israel screeds for years in academic journals, and there was a recent profile of him in Forward newspaper, which is very, very interesting. It turns out this guy is more than just an armchair academic, folks. This guy is a very deeply engaged, deeply involved international intriguer who's actually gone out and arrested people, working on site as an operative, you know, kind of a Mission Impossible type. Interesting. Edward Luttwak. You gotta give the guy credit. I thought he was just one of these armchair war hawks. He's a little bit more than that. He's an adventurer of sorts. It's very interesting, though, that the profile mentions that he is a Jewish survivalist. He says he's not a believer, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't believe in God, apparently. He's an atheist. He says, I value Jewish culture and traditions. My parents did too, but I am not a believer. That's interesting, because that is really reflective of many of the people who do support Israel. They really don't give a damn about the religion, but they do believe in the culture. They believe in that nation as an entity. And that's going to tie in directly to something we're going to talk about here on Thursday night with one of your favorite guests on this program and mine, Mark Glenn. We're going to talk about the Khazars, ladies and gentlemen. The truth about the Khazars, the facts and the myths. You need to listen to this program. If you've ever thought about the Khazars, ever talked about the Khazars, ever heard anyone talk about the Khazars, we're going to cut through the mud, the fog, the mist, and tell you the truth. What you need to know about the Khazars, not what you've heard about the Khazars. Promises to be a very provocative show right here Thursday night. I do hope you'll listen in. You might actually learn something, folks.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Well, speaking of Israel, the big fans of Israel, and there are a few out there listening in tonight, they will be delighted to know that if the current Prime Minister, Olmert, gets kicked out of office for corruption, his likely successor is their Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni. This lady, it turns out, was a former Mossad agent. She used to be a waitress, but then she joined the Mossad. She was in there from 1980 to 1984. She learned elementary spycraft in Paris, including lessons on how to recruit agents. She also learned the importance of discretion, etc., etc., etc. Boy, oh boy, that really makes me feel good to know that a former Mossad operative is going to be Prime Minister of Israel. The woman probably has blood on her hands. I don't know that for a fact. Well, I got an email, folks, from one of our listeners who was evidently upset about some comments that were made here on the air, initiated last evening by a caller who asked our guest, Victor Thorne, about Alex Jones. Victor said very little. But our reader says that he started reading The Spotlight from its inception in 1975, and then when Rush Limbaugh came on the air, he says, I thought he was the real thing, and he turned out to be the Judas goat The Spotlight said he was. Now he adds, but, and this is a big but, I believe Alex Jones is sort of the real deal. He has gotten into venues that we only dream about. Please lay off him. Well, you know, I didn't really attack Alex Jones last night, nor for that matter did Victor Thorne. But you see, people get very, very sensitive to even kind of an allusion. Actually, I pointed out that that someone the other day saw Alex Jones at the Bilderberg conference and mentioned to him they were an AFP reader and that they had never listened to his show. And he said, oh, he says, I'm 10 times bigger than AFP, or maybe he said 100 times bigger than AFP. Well, you know, that's all the more reason why Alex does have the opportunity to hit harder on issues, just as our caller suggested last night, such as Zionist power. So, you know, I'm not criticizing Alex. I'm suggesting that he join us and use his considerable clout to speak out more about Zionism and to hit the Israeli lobby, because, you know, I wish, maybe I don't wish that upon myself. I wish I had as many listeners as Alex Jones. I wish American Free Press had as many listeners as Alex Jones. I wish the Republic Broadcasting Network had as many outlets as Alex Jones does. So to simply urge Alex to join me and to join American Free Press and those people here in RBN who do dare to talk about Zionism is not to criticize Alex, it's to encourage him to speak out. It's encourage him to use his bullhorn outside an AIPAC conference. That's something that would help out. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton got a lot of mileage out of a lady named Margaret Dinnick, who asked Hillary if she could get her health care, and Hillary said, yes, I'll do everything I can to help you out, and then talked about her on the campaign. Turns out, though, according to Joe Klein, writing in Time, that he spoke to Mrs. Dinnick, and she said to him, look, I'm 38 years old. I'm Caucasian. I've got no kids. No one cares about people like me. That's kind of interesting because, you see, the thing is, while Hillary and the mass media like to play up certain aspects about things, they will kind of ignore the less delicate subjects. I thought that was kind of interesting. Just something to think about. All right, well, Alexander Coburn, writing in The Nation, has talked about Barack Obama's obeisance to Israel, how he crawled before AIPAC, groveling, as he said, ritual groveling to AIPAC. And here's what Coburn says. The assignment of every supposed liberal on the presidential campaign trail is to engage in the task of political redefinition. So the bankers, the CEOs of the Fortune 500, Rupert Murdoch, the Salzburgers, that's of the New York Times family, the Grahams of the Washington Post family, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Abe Foxman, and all the others all deem that candidate, quote, unquote, safe. Isn't it interesting that Alexander Coburn mentions Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League right up alongside Rupert Murdoch, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the military, the bankers, and the Fortune 500? That implies, perhaps, that indeed the Jewish lobby is just as powerful as these other power interests. And again, that comes back to the fact that the Jewish lobby very much is a part of the New World Order. In fact, if we really look at the New World Order, folks, we find that the New World Order isn't something that was dreamed up by the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant establishment. It wasn't dreamed up by the Jesuits in the Vatican. Folks, that New World Order is right out of the Talmud. Who put the mud in the Talmud, ladies and gentlemen? Well, Alexander Coburn says that Obama has shown an eerie and relentless skill in these tasks of reassurance. Though necessary to a certain extent, it's an ominous talent, says Coburn. Ominous for the American people, indeed. All right, you can call in here, 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting a wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Life Change Tea is restoring America's health. Want to lose weight? Want to lower blood sugar levels? Want to have more energy? Do you not believe what I'm saying? Then read the testimonies. Go to the website GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us and get started today. The phone number is 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. For about a dollar a day, you can change your health, change your weight, and change your life. Again, online orders, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com or order by phone. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is formulated by Dr. William W. Miller, Ph.D. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Coming to you from Washington. Didn't feel too good today, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm glad I was able to do the show tonight. Have one of these little summer colds that come from being out in the heat and then getting in the air conditioning. But I'm alive, and evidently quite a few are alive, too, because we do have a whole lineup of callers. So I'm going to go right to the callers. Let's go first to Don in Ohio. Don, come on up.
Hi, Michael.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. First time calling into your show. I'm a fellow journalist and talk show host. In fact, I know Pat Shannon.
Oh, okay. Good for you. Good
and
man,
Willis
Pat
Cardo. Shannon. And I write for the Observer, the Idaho Observer.
Oh, right. Okay, good, good, yeah.
I was listening to your show last night, and I found that Dave, I think his name was, from Massachusetts.
Dave from Massachusetts, right.
Asked a great question of Victor Thorne, and I was surprised at the dishonesty in Victor's answer. Although one could maybe allude to the fact that the word New York was in the question, but he asked specifically if Victor had driven a taxi. And then he added, in New York. Well, the answer to that would be no to that part of the question, but Victor did drive a taxi, and it was when he was Scott McCoofka at the Wharton School of Business. at the University of Pennsylvania, which is very interesting because...
Well, now, wait a minute. Before you go any further, first of all, it's no secret that Victor Thorne's real name is Scott McCufka. That's no secret. Victor has written about that on the Internet. That's no secret. Christopher Boleyn tried to play that up as a reason to attack Victor, as though Victor was trying to hide something. But the only reason Mr. Boleyn, that great investigator, knew it was because he found that Victor had written about it on the Internet. So if Victor were trying to hide that fact, I don't think he would ever written.
Yeah.
And frankly, if my name was McCufka, I don't think I would use that name either. But secondly, he asked if Victor had ever driven a cab in New York, and Victor said no, he had not. The fact is, everybody knows that Victor is a cab driver. He's a cab driver in State College, Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
So exactly. The thing is, why is it dishonest for Victor to say that he's never driven a cab in New York City if he never drove a cab in New York City?
Well, we don't know that, do we?
Well, I don't know that he ever did. Well, but do you know, but the point is, even if Victor did drive a cab in New York City, what does that mean about anything?
Well, yes, I think I'm just looking at the fact that he sort of skirted the question. He could have said, well, I do drive a cab.
He's never denied. He's never denied that he's driven a cab. He's written about it. Number one, he has. He's written about it. Number one. Number two, he's spoken about it on the air. I think, in fact, he may have even mentioned it at one point right here on my program, talking about someone he had picked up in a cab in State College, Pennsylvania. Now, I mean, it sounds to me, Don, like you're trying to defame Victor Thorne or try to imply that he's dishonest
no,
in some way.
No, that's not at all what I'm doing.
Well, what would be the point of making this? I mean, now, you must be the person who called my show last night and spoke to the producer afterward and brought these things up, because they said that someone named Don Nikoloff had called and said these very same things. So I have to assume you're the same Don. Well, what's your bone? What is the bone you have to pick with Victor Thorne?
Well, first of all, you brought up the name Christopher Boleyn. I don't know him. I know of him primarily from listening to your show, listening to his arguments with Eric Huffschmidt, et cetera. So don't think I'm coming from that standpoint.
All right, that's fine, but what is your bone to pick with Victor Thorne?
Well, I don't know that I have a bone to pick. I just see a lot of conflicting information.
I don't see anything conflicting at all. Victor Thorne has, again, I will repeat this, Victor Thorne has said in writing on the Internet that his name is Scott McCufka, number one, or McCufka, as you choose to pronounce it. Number two, Victor Thorne has said in writing and on the air that he is a cab driver. Now, does the fact, I know Victor, or I should say Christopher Boleyn, and I'm not imputing his words to you, but I know that Christopher Boleyn has questioned Victor's capacities because of the fact that he is a cab driver. I want to tell you something. Some of the smartest people I've ever known have been cab drivers.
Well,
some of the smartest people I've ever known have been janitors, people who clean toilets. In fact, today is the anniversary of the birth of a very dear friend of mine who was one of the smartest people I know, who died, unfortunately, very young, and he was a janitor all his life cleaning toilets, and yet he was one of the smarter people I've ever known. So what someone's profession is doesn't have, I mean, I don't have any skills. I am not an electrician. I am not a plumber. I don't know how to build a house.
Michael, if I can say something, the issue is not anything derogatory to do with driving a cab.
Well, what is your bone to pick with Victor Thorne? I mean, if you have evidence that he's a Zionist agent, tell us about it.
I never made the statement he's a Zionist agent, but I find it interesting that he went to the Wharton School of Business, which...
I don't know that he did. How do you know that he did?
Well, that's claimed in the story about him driving the cab, picking up drug dealers while he was at the Wharton School of Business.
Well, who wrote this story?
Well, you can Google his name. There's a girl from the school. In fact, it's someone from the communications department right there at the school.
Well, first of all, I don't know that Victor went to the Wharton School, number one. If he did work as a cab driver, where is the Wharton School? Philadelphia.
It's at the University of Pennsylvania.
Now, see, wait a minute. Listen, now look, the Wharton School of Business is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Well, then
that's the university. Listen, Don, okay, now you don't even know the details here. Look, Penn State University, Pennsylvania State University, is in State College, Pennsylvania. The University of Pennsylvania, where the Wharton School of Business is located, is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Philadelphia is in southeastern Pennsylvania. State College is up in the middle of nowhere, central Pennsylvania. Now, here's the thing. I want to tell you something. There are thousands of cab drivers here in Washington, D.C., and I guarantee you that before you get in their cab, they do not ask you, are you a drug dealer? Are you a right-wing extremist? Are you a reporter for the Idaho Observer? All they want, Don, I want to tell you, is to know where you're going, number one. They want to be sure that you're not going to mug them, number two. And number three, probably most important to many of them, is the fact that you have the money to get where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So what if Victor Thorne, or Scott McCoofka, as you insist on calling him, somehow did pick up a drug dealer when he was working as a cab driver? What does that mean?
Well, Michael, I'm getting the feeling that you're twisting the specifics of the story that I...
Well, what are the specifics?
As if that's the issue. The issue...
What are the specifics?
Well, the specifics was that he denied driving a cab. Now,
he did not deny driving a cab.
City.
Now, I will argue... I'll tell you what, we have a lot of other callers here. Listen,
Michael, I alluded to that he did mention New York City. And on that basis, he chose to answer no.
Wait a minute. The person said, are you a cab driver in New York City? Were you a cab driver in New York City? In fact, I'll tell you what. You know, Dave from Massachusetts is also on right now. Let's bring Dave up. Dave, come.
Okay.
Let's bring Dave up along with Don.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Michael. I wanted to tell you something very amusing, but I guess I have to address this. You know, one of the reasons I was interested to see if Victor was a New York City cab driver, because I drove cab in New York City throughout the 70s.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. All right. I didn't know that, Dave. I learned something else about you I didn't know. You're a veteran, and you're a former cab driver.
I drove cab for 30 years, Michael, always at nighttime, everywhere from New York City to Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, boy.
And,
you probably learned a hell of a lot in the process, too.
I did, Michael.
Now, Dave, since Don called in here and addressed this question, do you feel that Victor Thorne was dishonest by saying that he never drove a cab in New York City?
No, I asked him a point-blank question. I asked him specifically if he drove in New York City. I didn't ask him if he drove cab in general or if he ever drove a cab. I said, were you ever a cab driver in New York City? And he said he's visited the city any number of times, but no, he never drove in New York City. So I feel like I asked him an honest question, and he gave me an honest answer.
Yeah, I mean, I assumed that you probably... Did you know that Victor was a cab driver at all?
Well, see, I heard that somewhere.
Okay, right. Exactly. So you ask him if he was had ever been a cab driver in New York City. All right. So there we go, Dave. I mean, or I should say, there we go, Don.
Yes. I'm alluding to the fact that it seemed to be a bit twisting or evasive of an answer that Victor gave.
Well, why would Victor give an evasive answer when it's common knowledge among the people who know him and the people who listen to Wing TV and the people who've read his writings, that he is, in fact, a cab driver?
Well,
I don't get it. Don, you call up on this program and try to cast aspersions on Victor. You didn't even know the difference between the University of Pennsylvania and Penn State University.
I misspoke. Let's put it that way. I misspoke on that issue.
Okay, well now...
But he did go to the Wharton School of Business.
Well, I don't know that he did. He may have. If he did, good for him. I don't think they would have accepted me. Maybe that says something about me or says something about them. But what is the point? If he picked up drug dealers as a cab driver, what does that mean?
I never made that an issue. That's part of the story.
Well, what does that prove?
Well, that doesn't prove anything. That does not prove a thing. The point I'm referring to the reference to him driving a cab within that story. That
but then you brought up this business that he quote unquote picked up drug dealers.
Well, he described the story in the article that was written about his cab driving.
Well, now are you saying that Victor himself has written that he picked up drug dealers?
Well, he's relayed this information.
Well,
to
then
that wrote
all right,
article.
All right. So then, there's
Michael,
nothing secret about it.
Totally different tangent. I'm not trying to do that. That's not.
Well, then, okay. Well, then, why are you trying to cast aspersions on him?
Did I cast aspersions on him?
I think implicitly you did.
In my perception of the way Dave asked him the question, I thought Dave was trying to question whether or not he was a cab driver, and he may have added New York City to the end of the question, and on that basis, Victor chose to answer no. Victor didn't say, I am a cab driver, or I have driven in this city or this city, but New York, no. It was as though he was evading the fact that he is Scott McCoofka.
Well, no, but the point is he wasn't asked if he were Scott McCoofka.
Well,
and he has admitted that. What's that?
Let's just put it this way, and I don't want to take up the whole program.
Oh, I'm willing to spend the rest of the program. If you have something to say that you're not saying, then say it.
Well, when I hear these people, and I say these people, people that take a stance, 9/11, and then they go on the shows and they start trying to deflect evidence. And I could refer to Lisa Giuliani, who is Victor's on-again, off-again partner. I don't even know if they're together anymore.
Well, I think I mentioned last night that they are, in fact, married.
Okay, I didn't hear that part. I missed that part of the
Well, they're
story.
Married.
Okay. Well, that's good. And I have.
Is there a problem with the fact that they may have been on again, off again? I mean, a lot of people.
Again, Michael, you're trying to make a mountain out of nothing. There's nothing other than I've read that they were split up and they were back together again and they were split up. These are things I've read. These are not things.
Right. Okay. Well, what does that have to do with Victor and the drug dealers that either?
No, you. Again, you're making an issue of the drug dealers.
You're the one that brought them up.
That's the story I'm referring to.
All right, but what does that? What? How did Victor try to divert attention regarding 911?
Well, I didn't say Victor. Now I said Lisa.
Well, how has Lisa tried
to
divert attention?
I actually talked to her on a show where she was a guest, and I brought up the issue of Flight 93, and she said, "Well, you better be careful about what you say about Flight 93," as if she was protecting the official story about Flight 93.
Well, now, you obviously are unaware that Victor and Lisa have written a very good book about Flight 93 called Phantom Flight 93 that exposes the fact that the government lied about Flight 93.
I'm aware.
Were you unaware of the fact that Victor and Lisa were co-authors of Phantom Flight 93, a very, very good book which is available from American Free Press?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Well, have you read the book?
I thought that. Well, first of all, I'm describing a conversation that went on about a year and a half ago. I don't know when the book was published. I don't know when it was released.
Well, it's been published, and Victor and Lisa put the book out through Sisyphus Press, and then American Free Press reprinted it. And I want to tell you something, just for the record, I had absolutely nothing to do with the arrangements of that. I had absolutely nothing to do with the discussion of that. It was all carried out through other people on the staff. I only heard about it after the fact, so it cannot be inferred that I was instrumental in the publication of that book, which I was not. So just for the record, period.
Yes.
So I'm saying to you, I'd like to know how Lisa has been trying to cover up U.S. government involvement in 911.
Did I say she's covering that?
You implied that her comment
suggested that. No, you're putting words in my
mouth,
Michael. You're putting words in my mouth. It's not at all what I said.
Well, I think if anybody who listened to what you said, they would have definitely inferred that.
When I mentioned a specific fact about the recording and the reporting of Flight 93 having landed at the Cleveland Airport, I mean, I heard this broadcast on the radio in real time. And then they were talking later on in the afternoon. Mayor Michael White went on the air and said the plane landed safely, and they took the passengers off the plane. And she
said, a lot of us are familiar with that. What role did Lisa Giuliani and or Victor Thorne, Scott McCufka, have in covering that up or attempting to cover it up?
I'm not bringing Scott into that at
all. It's only Lisa now you're concerned about.
I'm just alluding to the fact that when I talked to Lisa on the air, she was adamant about, well, you have to be careful about what you say about Flight 93.
Well, what could she have meant? May I ask a question? Meant you have to be very, very careful?
That's a
good
question.
Because I always say this on the air, that people have to be very, very careful and get the story straight. Don and Dave, please hang on for the break. This is Michael Collins Piper, coming to you from republicbroadcasting.org. Apologies to the other callers, but, you know, when aspersions are cast upon the integrity of someone, I guess we need to talk about it openly here.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Once upon a time, Megan, people bought their food at a grocery store.
Oh, I remember.
They're there, Mama.
A grocery store, Dad?
Yes, dear, but that was long ago.
But where did our food come from?
InternetGrocer.net.
InternetGrocer.net? So all these cans?
In uncertain times, we must be prepared. So we buy real canned meats, real canned cheese, and real canned butter from InternetGrocer.net.
Mm. And it's real good, Dad.
Only the highest quality dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and other emergency supplies. Drop shipped direct from the manufacturers right to our door.
So having stored food on hand means we don't have to go into town, right?
Your father's a wise man, Megan.
Be ready for an emergency with InternetGrocer.net's one-year food supply, featuring the best variety in the business. Foods that will store 7 to 15 years or longer, unopened. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net or call 903-356-6443. Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. I'm glad Don Nikoloff called in here because we've had a very interesting exchange. I guess Don is still with us, and also Dave from Massachusetts, who inadvertently started all this and made the mistake of calling in tonight. Don, you mentioned that you know Willis Cardo. Now, I know you've written some material about Otto Skorzeny and talked about Otto Skorzeny,
mm-hmm.
Hitler's famous commando.
Yes.
Did you know that Otto Skorzeny was a personal friend of Willis Cardo?
Willis told me that, yes.
Yeah, I just wondered if you were aware of that.
Yeah, Willis told me that he actually has a picture of the two of them together, I think, from
Great
Spain.
Great picture, yes. It was republished recently in the Barnes Review, and it's going to be republished in a new book of Willis's writing. Scorzani actually wrote an article for American Mercury magazine, which Willis used to publish. Well, Don, I guess you have some concerns about Victor Thorne. You know, I tell you what, a couple years ago when Victor Thorne and Christopher Bolin and Lisa Giuliani went at it, I invited Victor and Christopher to come on the show to hash it all out. And, of course, Christopher then said that proved that I was part of a plot with the ADL and Homeland Security and Scott McCufka to get him. Well, I tell you what, I'd be glad to have both you and Victor and also Lisa on the show. If necessary, we'll have you and Lisa on the show one night and you and Victor on the show another night, and you can ask Victor all the questions he wants, and I'm sure he would be glad to answer them, and I'm sure Lisa would too.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. I'm really not interested in getting into the kind of arguments that I heard Bolin and Huffschmidt get into.
Well, no, but I mean, you called up here and raised questions about Victor's integrity. I mean, aren't you willing to face him directly?
Well, if
or at least over the air, anyway.
If you're telling me the truth about the fact that he's announced this to people, then I have to trust your integrity, and that should be that all that's necessary.
Well, I'm glad you have enough faith in my integrity, but you know, like I say, it just strikes me, you know, if you're going to make accusations about somebody publicly, you know, that maybe, you know, I just was talking to a friend of mine who had a problem where somebody, it was unclear as to who was making the accusations about him and where they were coming from. And I said to him, I said, what you need to do is you need to call everybody down and sit everybody down and hash it out and see if they're willing to make the accusations to your face. You know, and so, I mean, you know, it's like if someone calls in here, as you did, and raises these questions about Victor, and Lisa, too, for that matter, you know, I guess my feeling is that you had a particular agenda. I don't know what it is. I don't know why you don't like Victor or don't like Lisa or have doubts about them.
That's not what I'm saying.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey, can I just say something amusing, Michael, about the rabbis and the Talmud?
Go ahead.
You know, you were talking about the Talmud earlier?
Right.
About who put the mud in the Talmud and so on?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the story about when all the rabbis of the Talmud were shaking their angry fists? They were shaking their angry fists in the face of God, and they were crying out to him, "You're no better than us. We could conjure a man up out of the mud, too. You're no better than us." And God said to them, "Fine, knock yourselves out, but I hope you know how to make mud, because I'm not going to let you use any of mine."
Dave, thank you for adding a nice little note of levity, but yet a very serious note, I think, to this program. Well, Don, I'm glad you trust my integrity.
I do.
On that basis, I'm encouraging you to trust Victor and Lisa.
Well, I didn't know.
Can I say something to Don, Mike?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I didn't know we were speaking to Victor, the cab driver.
Hey, Don?
So, my apologies.
You hear me?
Go ahead, Dave.
Don, listen.
Men are.